Welcome to South Haven Business Beat. This is our special election edition. We talk to the candidates about the issues important to you and your business. We would like to thank the following sponsor, Wisdom Integrators. Are you a business owner and is technology getting in the way of your business? If your computers are slow, your website is horrible, or your business needs more efficiency, then it's time to reach out to Aaron Kozort and Wisdom Integrators. And now, here's your host, Aaron Kozort.
Hello, and welcome to South Haven Business Beat. We continue our coverage of the 2023 election. I'm Aaron Kozort, and we're joined today by Rodney Hall. Rodney, tell me a little bit about yourself. You're running for House Representative, District 20. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about yourself.
Aaron, first, I want to thank you and the chamber for allowing me to be here. You know, DeSoto County and specifically South Haven does a fantastic job in the business community. This chamber specifically is probably one of the most robust and active ones I've seen across the state. And I've been across the state in my previous assignments working in government, and I can just say that the stuff that this chamber is doing is head above shoulders above all the other counterparts. So thank you for allowing me to be here.
Absolutely. Well, we're very glad that you can be here, and we're glad that we're able to highlight the elections this year. What do you see as the most pressing issue for the district that you're running in, District 20? Now, first of all, tell me, where does District 20 cover?
I sure will. So for those that are familiar with DeSoto County, South Haven, Olive Branch, this is a brand new House seat. Of course, District 20 came from northeast part of the state over near Amory, but after the last census that we most recently did, we had so much population growth over here in this area that we picked up a new seat.
Okay.
So instead of renumbering them, they just picked up that seat and just moved it straight to the west, and it is over here in South Haven and Olive Branch. And so if you can picture the map of DeSoto County, of course, the northern boundary is going to be State Line Road.
Right.
So we border Shelby County. The western end is over there near Highway 51, encompassing Colonial Hills.
Okay.
And then it goes the southern boundary, and the South Haven part is Rasco Road. Everything north of Rasco going straight east, so that's past Carriage Hills, where I'm from.
Right.
And then it runs all the way to the east towards Olive Branch. And then so you have Highway 78 over there in Olive Branch, takes up Olive Branch West, which goes down to about Church Road.
Okay. So what do you see as some of the more pressing issues right now in this district?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, South Haven has unprecedented growth. DeSoto County has unprecedented growth. When you look at where we started, you know, a few years back, and you look at the changes over the next, you know, the past two, 3 decades, it's been the growth. And so when you have growth, you have growing pains. And with those growing pains, it's traditional stuff, roads, infrastructure, water, resources. But then it's also some of the stuff that's spilling over from Shelby County. So, of course, crime is something that we always want to continue to keep a pulse on and continue to keep back because, you know, when you talk about businesses, when you talk about families, when you talk about development, man, you have to have a safe environment for those things to prosper. And so one of the most pressing needs, of course, is public safety.
Right.
But then we also have the surface water thing. We have the sewer thing that's going on with the battle between Shelby County and specifically South Haven. And then economic opportunity. I mean, we're in a great time to be from DeSoto County, to be an American, but specifically here in South Haven and Olive Branch. When you think about how much growth and you think about how much tax base we provide for the state, I mean, South Haven, third largest city, DeSoto County, third largest city, the largest school district in the entire state, we are booming. But with that boom, the only way we can capitalize on that is if we set the conditions for that economic boom.
Right.
And so the chamber, they're doing a fantastic job bringing in all the partners, bringing in, making a community for businesses. But now the government needs to do their part.
Right.
They need to help relieve some of these burdens, specifically when it comes to taxes and when it comes to setting the conditions for economic growth so that, you know, our business leaders, they can do what they do best, which is lead.
What do you see as the primary role of a House of Representatives individual.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, we have a mighty fine government, and our founding fathers, they did a fantastic job about setting up, when you think about our Constitution. And I bring that up because a lot of people, they look at what they see on TV, whether, you know, it's Fox or CNN or whatever they get their, wherever they get their news from, and they look at Congress, and they think Congress sets the tone down here in the state. But that's not the case. The way our Constitution's set up, the federal government, they have limited power. Mm-hmm. The state's plenary power. And so we have to look and see what they're doing up there in D.C., inside the Beltway, but we have to understand that we set the tone down here. We have that authority because that's the way our government's set up.
Right.
And so as a representative at the state level, I mean, we have plenary power down here. Mm-hmm. We have so many opportunities to remove burdens, to set the conditions for business growth, and to ensure that everybody, all of our citizens, are set along a path of safety and prosperity in order to continue that growth, in order to move the ball forward when it comes to things like education, medical, poverty rates, economic growth. All those things are encompassed, and that's at the state level.
Right.
People look at Congress, but they don't have a say in that.
Right.
We do.
Right.
That's on us. And so that is the biggest part of what we do down in Jackson and what I'm looking to accomplish when I go down to Jackson.
Right. So what was the decision-making process for you to decide to run?
Yeah. You know, I grew up wanting to be just like my dad. He's a soldier. He did 25 years. My grandfather, he went to Vietnam. He was also a soldier. And naturally, when I turned 17, my dad, it was like another Thursday. And I was like, hey, Dad, when am I going to MEPS to join? To join the Guard. And right. So I joined the Guard at 17. My lifelong dream was to be a soldier, to lead troops. I wanted to be an airborne ranger, an infantry officer. I am that. I accomplished it. I'm still serving. Been in the Guard here for coming up on 20 years in the very near future. And so that was my desire. I wanted to be a soldier. I wanted to lead men. I wanted to go to combat. I just thought that that represented the best of the best. It wasn't until I started working for Congressman Trent Kelly, which mm-hmm. is our Congress member mm-hmm. up in Washington, working with him over the past few years, and I just saw that, man, there were so many opportunities that we were missing out on. And a lot of other delegations, they do a fantastic job, but, you know, you cannot, and this is at the federal level, they can't unilaterally say, hey, I'm going to go give this to DeSoto or Tupelo or the coast
right.
or anywhere. Somebody
right.
has to ask for that.
Right.
And what I saw are local leaders. You think about some of our mayors and aldermen. You think about specifically over there in Olive Branch. DeSoto County, the supervisors, they did a fantastic job of asking for things that they needed.
Mm-hmm.
But I never saw a representative ask for anything.
Mm-hmm.
I never saw a representative try to address anything. And so with that huge gap, and they were going down to Jackson trying to fix the same issues.
Right.
And I was like, man, somebody is getting paid for that job.
Right.
And so I saw that gap. I was disappointed that, you know, we were leaving so much on the table
mm-hmm.
as far as for Mississippi specifically, and that made me jump in the race.
Okay. So why, you know, this podcast is sponsored by the Chamber, and
mm-hmm.
so one of the things we'd like to ask and focus on is why do you feel like you're the best person to represent small businesses
yeah.
in DeSoto County?
Yeah, I will be the first to tell you I'm a lawyer by trade, and you know, many of our lawyers think they have all the answers. I don't feel that way. I don't think that it's my job to be an expert in everything, but my job is to find the experts in those fields, find out what issues are impacting their industries, and then find a way to address it. One thing that I'm very passionate about that I love legislation. I mean, when I was in Congress working for Trent Kelly, I used to read the Congressional Record every night.
Mm-hmm.
Every bill that came out, I, along with my team, when I was serving as the legislative director, I would take my team, and I don't care how long the bill was, we would read it from cover to cover.
Right.
It's a skill when you talk about understanding rules, understanding decorum, procedures, how to craft legislation to get the task that you're trying to accomplish in black and white.
Right.
If you can figure that out, the opportunities are endless, they're boundless.
Right.
And so my goal working with the business community here is not to be the subject matter expert. I'm not always the smartest one in the room. I understand that, but I know how to reach out to the chamber, talk with our mayors, talk with some of our other local leaders, and say, hey, what are the issues? And let's come to the table. Let's figure out how do we address those issues,
mm-hmm.
and then allow me to go down to Jackson, because when it comes to using that pen and when it comes to using legislation, I love it. I understand it. It's a passion of mine, and I can help move those barriers so that the community, the business community, could thrive.
We're taking a second to thank our sponsors. Pure Focus Media. Have an event coming up? Let us capture all the moments that will create memories that will last a lifetime with our professional photographer and videographer. Also announcing our new digital selfie photo booth. Book with us today. Be sure to share and subscribe for more business resources. Now back to South Haven Business Beat.
What do you feel as though, and I think we've already kind of touched on it, but it just kind of draw that thread together, what do you feel is the job experience that makes you qualified to hold this position?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I've worked in three separate Congresses, the 114th Congress, the 117th Congress, and the 118th Congress, all doing legislation. I've been a senior staffer for Congressman Trent Kelly most recently, and so when you talk about understanding the rules, procedures, or understanding how to work in a bicameral legislative government, and when you talk about drafting legislation to address minute and broad needs, right? Mm-hmm. That is my expertise. That is something that I'm just very passionate about, and that I sought when we were up in Washington to find these to address issues in the district.
What do you see as the top three issues mm-hmm. that you seek to address in the upcoming legislative sessions if you become the representative of this district?
Yeah, absolutely. So the foundation of our society, we're a law-abiding society. We have to ensure that if businesses, if families are going to grow, if families are going to thrive, businesses are going to thrive. We have to make sure that the crime that is spilling over from Shelby County, we gotta combat that. We gotta keep that on, you know, north of State Line Road and ensure that that doesn't impede our success. And so we have some of the best officers here. I have some soldiers that serve in South Haven PD. They do a fantastic job. I want to make sure they have all the resources that they need in order to continue to do their job. I want to make sure that they're adequately funded, but then also that they're adequately paid, not just in salaries, but their benefits. So then we have these great officers that come from our community, come from South Haven, come from DeSoto County, that after 3 years, they don't try to go to a job at the Fed or in another jurisdiction because their pay is not keeping up.
Right.
So crime is number one. And once, if we can continue to keep our community safe, everything else can grow and prosper. The second thing, poverty. Our poverty levels, man, we are still, despite all the progress that we've had when it comes to regulations and things of that nature, we still have a very high poverty rate. And with that comes our education system. DeSoto County has the largest school district in the entire state.
Mm-hmm.
The largest. And so I want to make sure that we're continuing to adequately resource our schools, but then also let's look at some alternative means to ensure that they're getting the education that they need in order to be a successful person in society. Now, whether that's them wanting to get a trade or go off to the military or go off to college, I want to set the conditions for students, our students, to continue to grow and develop, get the education that we're going to need in the next century or in the next generation. Continue to bolster that up because that's our future. And then the last, of course, is taxes and regulation. We have great conservatives across this state. We have some really good ones that are down there in Jackson, but I was very disappointed that the income tax, it failed last time. I mean, they cut it back a little bit, but they didn't repeal it all the way. And I believe that we have the budget to repeal it all the way. But, you know, I think that happened because everybody's not DeSoto County.
Right.
We're the most affected because we border Shelby County.
Right.
And they have no state income tax.
Right.
And so you have some families that are brave enough to drive over in Shelby County will go out there and spend some of their money in Shelby County because there's no income tax. It's cheaper.
Right.
They're
right.
trying to keep money in their pockets, and I understand that. I want to get rid of the income tax completely, the gas tax, the grocery tax completely. That way we can take, you know, the governmental burdens, the foot off the neck of families, give the business community the resources that they can in order to continue to grow and thrive and be successful here in DeSoto County. You know, a lot of people ask, well, if we get rid of all these taxes, how are we going to offset that? How are we going to refill our coffers? Well, again, DeSoto County, we're unique. There are dozens of businesses and not the big businesses with the warehouses and the trucks going down State Line Road, taking up our roads and causing congestion, but headquarters. Mm-hmm. Small, nimble businesses with great paying jobs that will happily move right across the border to DeSoto mm-hmm. County and set up shop. And that's how we grow our tax base.
Sure.
Without having extra taxes put on top of families and businesses, et cetera.
One of the things that we like to focus on, and I think it's an interesting thing in perspective of this, is what are some things that you think the legislature is doing well mm-hmm. that you'd like to see them continue do or yeah. accentuate what they're doing?
Yeah, you know, the first thing I would say is education has taken a step. Our teachers, they did get a pay raise. I do believe they're calling it one of the largest pay raises ever in Mississippi. Our schools, they were fully funded last time. I will say, if you look at the pay raise, and I cannot remember the actual number off the top of my head, but when I broke it down, you know, you do the simple math, divided by 12, mm-hmm. It might have been $1,000
right.
a month.
Right.
It's not competitive with our neighbors.
Right.
There are some things that other states are doing, conservative states. You can look at Florida. You can look mm-hmm. at Texas. This stuff isn't thinking outside the box, per se. It's taking an example, something that's already out there in the stream of commerce, doing a fantastic job providing value to their citizens. We need to look at those policies mm-hmm. and see if they apply here. Mm-hmm. And if they don't, see if we can tinker with them a little mm-hmm. bit. Figure out the nuanced approach in order to bring those policies here, so that families and businesses continue to do what they do best.
Sure. So, Rodney, first of all, really appreciate having you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Aaron.
Are there any things that we haven't talked about yet that you'd like to leave with the voters yeah. or any topics that you'd just like to cover as we close?
Yeah, absolutely. Aaron, you know, one of my biggest, this is my passion. This is what keeps me up at night. This is what I think about all during the day. This is something that has been on my mind for decades. We have to, as Mississippians, look at where we are and not think about necessarily the 50-meter target. And I'm an Army guy, so we use 50 meters, 100 meters, 300 meters like a gun range. But we have to look at not just the 50-meter target. Think about I-55 being widened. Think about some of the road stuff that needs to be addressed, fixing some potholes. We need to look further out. We need to look at that 300-meter target and say, what do we want Mississippi to look like in the future? Mm-hmm. And then we have to come with policies that sets the conditions for that future.
Right.
A lot of our representatives, and I won't call any names, but, you know, they spend a lot of time bogged down on the 50-meter targets.
Yeah.
Even when they talk about bringing jobs here, they're very much kind of the same jobs that we have, right?
Right.
And if you look at our industry, if you look at our state, we're still kind of, we're getting better. We're getting better. We're moving the ball forward, but it's incremental. It's mm-hmm. very small. Mm-hmm. We need a big push. Mm-hmm. There are some things that are happening at the federal level. There are some things happening at the state level, and we need to synergize that. I mean, when you talk about generational change,
yeah.
when you talk about revolutionary changes, for Mississippi, getting us out of poverty, not being sick anymore, roads and resources being around us here so that we can continue to prosper, we have to row in all the same direction when it comes to our research universities. Mm-hmm. They get a ton of funding mm-hmm. every year, ton of funding. And as well as our local industries, we need to synergize all of those mm-hmm. and start setting policies today so that in 10 years, 15 years, 20 years from now, we won't be last or we won't be, you know, in the bottom, you know, 1/5 percentile, but that we're moving the ball extremely forward.
Sure.
So that is what keeps me up at night. That's what I think about. Those are the issues that I want to address on. And we have the opportunity. We have some of the finest people I've ever seen. I've been deployed a couple times, Afghanistan, Syria. I've lived all over the state of Mississippi. We have some of the best citizens here. I feel very passionate about that. I'm happy for that. But the government has to do their part to ensure that they're in a better position tomorrow than they are today, and that their children are in better position later down the road so they don't have to leave and go all out to find the economic opportunities. They can come back here, we can maintain our values here, but then also have that economic growth and opportunity for everyone to kind of enjoy the fruits of our labors.
Well, Rodney, we really appreciate
you
coming And we appreciate you joining us for another episode of South Haven Business Beat as we continue our coverage of the 2023 election. We hope you'll check out all of the videos and watch all of the videos that we've produced in this series. Learn more about the candidates before you go vote, but most especially, go vote. Thank you again, and have a great day.
We would like to thank the following sponsor, Follow App. The Follow App is the long-term solution for networking, instantly connecting you to those frequently missed opportunities to find the right referral partner or new client to grow your business. Thank you for listening to this episode of South Haven Business Beat. This podcast is brought to you by the South Haven Chamber of Commerce. We know relationships create commerce. Thank you for joining us. Like what you see and hear? Please tell others and subscribe.